Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to tonight's show. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom, Visionary Vitality, and Cowboy Wisdom Radio. Tonight, we got Dr. James Perdue with us, and James was a normal 19-year-old with an exception, with an expectation of playing professional baseball in major leagues. He was attending Martin Methodist College in Pulaski, Tennessee, on a baseball scholarship. He had the attitude of being invincible. After only being in college for 2 weeks and playing one college game in the fall, unexpectedly, tragedy came a-calling. On September 11, 1983, James became a quadriplegic. This was plating 3 vertebrae in his neck from playing a football game. The doctor says, James, I'm sorry, you'll never walk again. And you might be paralyzed from your neck down. Later, their doctor advised the family to put him in a nursing home. He would be too much of a burden for them to take care of. However, Dr. Perdue worked hard to achieve success as a teacher and a coach. He has been awarded the Fox 17 Top Teacher of the Week Award in 2005, Teacher of the Year in 2002, as well as Coach of the Year in 2006 and 2007. James received the Joe Andrews Award in 1995 and the Dr. Raymer Award in 1991 for overcoming adversity. Recently, he received his doctorate degree in May of 2011 from Tennessee State University. His demonstration of not giving up and striving through major challenges is apparent. Dr. Perdue knows he can help others pass through to the other side of tragedies to become triumph. And James works with organizations that want to overcome adversities, accept challenges as an opportunity to achieve and realize that success can come from failures. And without any further ado, I am also want to introduce, James has a book out, and it just slipped my mind. And tell him about your book, because I apologize. It just slipped right through me.
Oh, that's okay, Rob. My book is called One More Play, and it just talks about how I got in the wheelchair and overcoming adversity to be where I'm at today.
And I apologize for that because I was supposed to have that on the screen, and it's available on Amazon. And I'm on James's website, and it's drjamesperdue.com. As we get into this, James, tell people, there's one thing that you have here that I really wanted you to, we talked about it for just a minute. Learn to persevere past paralysis and your fears. Tell people how that is part of your speaking engagement.
I use my branding, and of course my theme is persevere past your paralysis. And in this contest, paralysis doesn't mean that you're paralyzed in a wheelchair, but it's what's preventing you from being successful in life or doing what you want to in life. What are you afraid of to take that next step to put you where you need to be in life?
You know, but how, you know, and the reason I opened with this, James, how is the whole country paralyzed by fears to change your life? I use the word expand, you use the word change. But how is the world afraid to expand out of what it is right now because they're paralyzed in fear, do you feel?
One thing is the lack of uncertainty what's going to happen if I get out of my comfort zone. You know, I'm so used to doing this certain thing. If I try something different, I might fail. Well, that's okay. You can fail and still be successful, okay? It doesn't mean that if you sit there and you're not going to do good, I mean, obviously you can do well, but you might be able to do more if you just step on out and reach. But a lot of it is just unsure of what's out there for us and, you know, will it benefit us or not.
And also, James, do you feel that people are sitting around waiting for somebody to do it so they won't do it themselves?
I think it could be a possibility.
Way they don't...
Yeah, that way if they sit back and wait and see if someone else is doing it, and if it works for them, then they might step out and say, well, if they can do it, I can do it. So, yeah, it could be part of that as well.
And, you know, James, I'm sitting here looking at your website, and I'm reading some stuff in here. What would have happened, James, if you had waited for somebody else to do your adventure you just overcame?
Actually, when I first got paralyzed, I just knew for sure I'd be put into a nursing home. I remember when I was about 12, 13 years old visiting my grandfather, who had a major stroke and heart attack and a leg amputated, left side paralyzed, and he was, you know, 67 years old in a wheelchair, in a nursing home. But I remember visiting him one day, and before I got to my grandfather's room, I heard this one guy go, hey, bud, hey, dude, come here. And I go into the room, and there's this man totally paralyzed from his neck down that was probably in his late 20s. And so when I first got paralyzed, I just knew that I was going to be in a wheelchair. But, again, brought up athletically, brought up to work hard and determination, and we just really felt that we could do better than a nursing home. And thankfully, my family did listen to the doctors, and we were able to do much better than we ever anticipated.
And, you know, the thing is, we got to bring up somebody right now. How does Ricardo... I don't know what kind of dog he is, but how does Ricardo really play a big part in your daily life and in your seminars?
Ricardo's a black lab dog, and the reason I got him was one day I was transferring out of my bed into my wheelchair, and that morning my wheelchair had a mind of its own and took off without me. And the position I fell, I couldn't turn to get to the telephone. It was only 3 feet away from me, so I had to drag myself from my living room to from my bedroom to my living room. It only took me 2.5 hours, and so after that, I decided it was time for me to get a companion dog. And Ricardo, like if I was to fall again, he'll bring a phone to me. He can turn when I'm in bed. He can turn lights off and on for me. If I drop something, he can pick it up and give it to me, and he cleans my plate for me every night too.
And he's also got a good sense of humor the way he looks.
Oh, yeah, he's full of himself, that's for sure.
You know, the biggest lie in the world is we train animals.
Oh, no, you're right about that. They sure give us the training, that's for sure.
Yes, but you know, they're really neat. But now you can go on Dr. James's website, and you can book him for seminars. He's an inspirational speaker and author. But how does your book, if somebody was chose to read it, just say like me, who can walk and who isn't, what is in there for them that we wouldn't understand how much willpower that you have that can expand our lives?
And I'm glad you asked that. The reason I feel my book is a little different from others is I don't give the fluffy stuff, the good feeling stuff. I tell the good with the bad. And I tell about the days that I was sick and tired and looking at my mother and my brother, and it was time for me to go to a different rehab just to get away from them, to see different people, and for me to learn how to do things for myself. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my mom and brothers. But I was sick and tired of them, and I know they were sick and tired of me because I wasn't a pleasant person some days when I first got injured. And, you know, that's the main thing. If you read through the book, there's no fluff in there. It tells the good, the bad. I mean, I even talked about my suicide attempt, and, you know, there's no fluff to it. It's what's there is what's there.
Now, you want to talk about a culture shock going from being a baseball player with a scholarship to being a quadriplegic all at once. That is a shell shock. But I must admire you and give you kudos for having the strength. And you got a three-point strategy to cope with change. Give people just a little tidbit about that if they come to one of your seminars and how your three-point strategy to expand will help them.
Yeah, I talk about the three, and I call them the three P's of success. And every now and again, I readjust them and change them and have different terms for them. But basically, and of course, in no certain order, really, one of the P's is you got to have a plan. You know, a plan to talk something happens. You know, we've been in life long enough to know that while everything is going great, all of a sudden there's going to be a bump in the road, whether we caused it or whether someone caused it for us. And now we've got to be able to adjust our life and adjust goals in our life to be able to be successful. And we may not reach those goals right off the bat. We may have to sit back and punt and adjust things. And what I tell people is, especially in the condition that I'm in, or if you're depressed or whatever it is, that you don't have to have a 10-year goal. You know, I hear people talking about a 5-year goal, 10-year goals, and that's great if everything's going smooth as silk in life. But for someone in my condition, I need a one-day goal. You know, one day I wanted to be able to pick up a fork so I can eat. I wasn't going to use those braces. I didn't want to wear those braces out in public for people to see me. I wanted to pick up a fork and eat by myself. We have a one-day goal, a weekly goal, and then a monthly goal. Then you can set up a yearly goal, you don't have to have so far advanced and then see what happens. You need to have a bunch of little wins during that time. Second P that I would mention would be persevere, persistence. Be determined. Go forward. Some days we're going to be stagnant and not really go anywhere, but just don't go backwards. Go forward. We don't have to go 100 miles an hour. We can go at a snail's pace. As long as we see improvements, we move forward, we're going to be all right. And another one, three that I mentioned is you need a partner that's going to help you get through certain situations. You know, the Long Ranger, he didn't ride by himself. He had Tonto to help him with him. You know, Batman had Robin. So, and now when I talk about a partner, it doesn't have to be the same person. You might have 100 different partners. You know, maybe someone that you can go talk to get off your chest. Maybe someone to help you that you didn't know how to do something on the computer that they're good at it and they can train you at it. Maybe it's a psychologist, you know, if you're depressed and you need to just talk to them about what's going on in life. So when I say a partner, it's not just one. It may be 100, it may be 200, maybe 10. But people that you can trust that's going to help you along the way. I've always said I would never be where I'm at if it wasn't for my mother and brothers.
And, you know, that is the thing. And, you know, speaking of mothers, I lost mine last year. And, you know, there is a difference in life with the parents gone. But, James, how did you have to reach down deeper inside yourself and really gather up not only the perseverance, but the patience to do it? Because I think that's one that's overlooked the most. I saw that in your three P's. How do we overlook the patience to succeed, do you feel?
And that is a big one, patience. I had to learn that, again, because when I was an athlete, it just, you know, I always felt invincible. Nothing was going to stop me. I was going to win what I do. You know, of course, I didn't win everything, but I always had the attitude, if you beat me this time, I'll get you next time. But the patience was a big thing I had to learn. And I finally learned it one day when my two brothers went out to go wash my car for me. And instead of saying, thank you, it looks great, I said, hey, look underneath the car, y'all missed a spot. And boy, did they let me have it. Instead of just being thankful. And so, you know, I had to learn, you know, to watch what he had to say, be patient, sit back and think about it, and, yeah, just be thankful for some things and ignore the small stuff.
You know, isn't that what gets us in more trouble, James, is we allow the small stuff to become the big stuff, and then we stop, we actually lose the path of our dreams?
Yes. Yeah, we started focusing on just the small things, and that gets you all upset and all out of whack, and the next thing you know, your whole day's been bad, and then the next day you wake up and you're still steaming over, and then when you look back at it, you're going, what was I mad about anyway? I mean, it's so small you couldn't even remember what it was. And so I've really learned to don't sweat the small stuff.
But, you know, how is it that most business fails to you? This isn't my – just something that come to me. How is it that it is the patience of business, the lack of patience is the way a lot of businesses fail?
I think of and nowadays, you know, everybody, because of the microwave stuff, everybody's for that instant gratification. You know, let's throw all this stuff in at one time so we can get everything right back tenfold faster. And, you know, I'm a firm believer. You plant your garden, your seeds and everything, and then it develops over time, and you get your reap your rewards from that garden. So, yeah. Patience, you got to sit back and wait, and you got to make good decisions. If something bad happens, again, readjust to it and go from there. Hopefully you're hiring correct people that's going to help you with those decisions and help the business better. And so, but I'm a firm believer on the planting the seed to the garden and the reaping the rewards, you know, from that, you know, 6 to 8 weeks later, 3 months later. So,
you know, and that's the thing. But I'm also reading here, and it's you can go to James's website, jamesperdueSpeaks.com, and you can go there, and he's got a client kit where people can come in, and you can hire James to speak. And if you've been listening, you see a man with a lot of heart. But I'm reading up here, successful teacher coach, even through becoming a quadriplegic, James Perdue delivers with humility, humor, and gratitude. How did humor help get you through where you're at today?
We've got to be able to laugh at ourselves sometimes. And there's, you know, for example, again, dragging myself across the floor to get to the telephone, that was a hard day. Well, I didn't break any bones. I didn't lay there for a full day, just a couple hours. And so laugh it off now. I mean, I was thankfully I had the strength to drag myself. If it wasn't for that, I, you know, who knows how long I'd been there. And so we've got to be able to laugh at some of the stuff. Again, at that time it's not funny, but once it's passed and once you have beaten that situation and, again, have won a little victories, then you sit back and go, yeah, now bring me something bigger and better. Not that we want it, but we're prepared for something bigger and better or bigger and worse the next time. I joke a lot. Some people don't get my humor sometimes.
Well, I don't think the country has any anymore.
I think you're right. They're way too uptight about a bunch of stuff that, and I'm one of them. My dad brought it. My father burned it into me. I remember teaching one time, and when the principals made a decision about some stuff, and boy, a bunch of teachers were mad. They were steaming. I mean, if you could visualize the steam coming out of their ears, you know, that's how mad they were. And one of them came up to me and said, James, aren't you mad about this? And I go, well, no, not really. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, my dad taught me a long time ago that if a boss is paying you to do what you're supposed to do, what they tell you to do, as long as it's not going to dismember me or kill me or hurt me, then I'm supposed to do what they told me to do. I said, so there's no need in me getting all upset. Well, you know, there's a lot of things out there in our country, you know, you have no control over. Hey, move on. Accept it and move on. You don't have to like it, but you have to adjust it, live to it, and move on.
And that's very true. The call-in number to ask James questions is 718 305-6548. And you can go on to Amazon.com, go Dr. James Perdue, and go one more play, and it takes you right to his book. And tell somebody something that's really unique about the book, because it looks unique the way you got your ball and everything sitting there. I believe that's your wheelchair in the background.
That's one of my wheelchairs. My first idea on the cover was, because I played baseball, was to put a big old baseball up there and one more play. Then a friend of mine, she's a retired teacher, and she was one of my editors, and she said, "James, I read your book. I loved it and everything like that." Said, "But I'm telling you, if I walk inside the store and saw a book with a baseball on it, I'm not a sports person. I wouldn't get it." She said, "I think what you need to do is put what's been the biggest essentials in your life and put that and let it kind of tell a story." And so what I did is had the baseball bats on there because I love to play baseball. I got a football because I got hurt playing football. The wheelchair for paralyzed. And then, of course, Ricardo, service dog, it came to me later. And so that's how we came up with the idea for that front cover.
And that is a very nice front cover. But it's also eye-catching and also makes you inquisitive. But, you know, you also say something on your website about conquering fear. How are people afraid to even address their fears, do you feel, James?
Again, they need to recognize what's stopping them. Okay, what are they fearful of? And then, again, let's get some surrounding people that's been there and help you get through it. Because if you think you've got the only type of fears out there, you're sadly mistaken. There's a bunch of people who've got that same fear. And so we just move from there. Let's get some supporting cast. Again, that's where that partners come in, a supporting cast that's going to encourage you. They're going to give you their ideas on how they got through things. And then you develop your own stuff, or you use their ideas. And then maybe you do something a little different that tweaks it and makes it easier for you. And then what's so great about it, once you have conquered it, now you're ready to help someone else to come around, and that's the old pay it forward stuff going on after that.
You know, how is the world, to you, James, afraid to pay its way forward right now? To me, that's one of the biggest challenges we face is people unwilling to pay the way forward.
I agree with you there. A lot of people, it seems like they think that what they're doing is they're the only one that can do it. And they're afraid if someone else gets into their field, it's competition and it's going to take away from them. Well, instead of helping other people get through it, you're going to strengthen whatever. Now, again, more people that knows what you're doing, the more people will be competition. I agree with that. But had competition led to better overall and, you know, it helps other people develop other things. You know, you see the whole thing that, you know, someone's got an idea and then all of a sudden they hear somebody else mention something and they go, "Well, I didn't think about that," and then it spurs a different idea. And so, you know, the whole thing with competition, it can build to a better idea or better areas of what we're doing.
And that's very true. But is it the competition or the willingness to expand from where you are into where you choose to go? Which one do you feel?
I'm sure they both feed off each other, but I like because I've just been an athlete all the time, the competition that would lead into expanding the other field. I guess that's the old chicken and egg thing, maybe.
Yeah, but isn't it because you still have the competition to get better is inside you and not really in the world?
Yes, exactly. It's got to come from you. You can have your cheerleaders and pep rallies pushing you forward, but if you don't accept the challenge to go forward and try to conquer, it's not really going to happen. You know, you've seen the a lot of athletes that they have the talent, but they don't have the confidence that they can do stuff other. And so they're, I mean, even though they're getting paid millions of dollars, they're mediocre players, not the dominant player. To me, the dominant players are the ones that have the, I don't say that I don't care attitude, but they're very highly confident, where people just call them cocky and just don't like them pretty much. But to me, if you, if you're full of confidence, I don't call it cocky or anything. I just call it confidence. Just I'm confident in what I'm doing.
And that is true. And you can also go to James's website, JamesPurdueSpeaks.com, and right on about Dr. James Purdue, down there you can sign up for a free chapter of his book, One More Play. And if somebody chose to get a free chapter, how do you think that would expand their life, James?
And the chapter that I give them is, I have to go back and be sure which one. I believe it's chapter two, but it's I'm laying in bed in the hospital, and I'm reminiscing back, and I'm thinking about what I used to do and playing baseball and dating my girlfriend, and I'm thinking about it and everything. Then, as you're reading along, then you find out that I had I'm paralyzed in the hospital, and so that's the chapter I chose to put out there to pique their interest on it.
What took more courage, James, realizing that you're going to be the paraplegic or expanding out of it to where you are now?
You know, I would have never thought that I wasn't a scholarly person academically. When I was in high school, I did just enough to stay eligible to play baseball. So I would have never thought that I'd have a doctorate degree. I would have never thought that I'd been over in Africa as a wheelchair ambassador over there for disabled people. I would have never thought about me being a teacher and everything like that. My only thought was wanting to go professional and play baseball and make money. And so even though I tell people, even though breaking my neck and spinal cord injury was a bad thing overall, but it ended up being a good thing if I sit back and look at the whole picture now. Now, of course, I would like to be up walking around. I would like not to, I would love that my family didn't have to go through everything that I've gone through. But, again, I've accomplished so much more than I ever thought I would have. I mean, I couldn't think of anything else that would be even better at the moment.
But do you feel like you're still just beginning, James, and it's getting better?
Actually, when I mentioned my suicide attempt earlier, you would have think that I would have tried in the first 5 years of suicide attempt when I was first injured because thinking baseball so much. But actually, I just tried it 4 years ago. And it's hard to believe that, you know, as successful as a coach and winning a state championship, coach of the year, teacher of the year, and all that, and a doctorate degree and everything, you would think that I'm riding high. But life came back and kicked me in my teeth for the second time a few years ago that I lost. When I was paralyzed, I was told I'd never walk again, maybe not move from my neck down. I got where I was able to stand up, so I can stand and transfer to get into bed, stand to turn around and get in and out of my car, stand to transfer to get in and out of the shower. And so a few years ago, I got bit by a brown recluse on the bottom of my foot and didn't know it until there was a sore the size of a tennis ball, and it cut all that dead tissue out. And they told me while the tissue is regrowing for me not to stand, it would tear that new skin trying to grow back. So after 6 months of not standing, I lost the strength to stand. So now I needed someone to help me in the bed, help me on the toilet, help me into the shower. And then, for 23 years I was independent. So now I had to depend on other people to help me again, my family and my brother and my mom. And so one night I couldn't get into bed. My younger brother came in to help me in bed. He had some health issues at that time, a bleeding ulcer and a hernia. So he came and helped me in bed that night, and he died the same night. And so now I'd been depressed about feeling like a burden to people. Now I feel like I killed my brother because I was had gotten weaker. And so then a few months later is when I decided to attempt the suicide.
To get back to the question,
so now since I have lived through the suicide attempt and was in the hospital for 7 weeks, I do feel like life is getting better now. I do feel like I'm just beginning, like you said, where I was teaching and coaching. Now I can actually go out and teach and reach to other people that have been going through things like I've been going through, and I'm hoping that I can help them get out of their situation without causing, them going through anything like I did on the suicide attempt. You know, they may be on a verge. Maybe if they hear me talk and explain things my way, maybe it may keep them out of that crisis.
Do you think you're a better teacher now than you were before, James?
I think I could, yeah. I think so now, yeah, because I know so much more and not afraid to put things out there now. Again, my book is just so totally honest, so totally upfront about me that it's no holds bar on it. And so I think now, yeah, I would. Better than I could have been, yes.
The book is One More Play by Dr. James Perdue. You can get it on Amazon, and you can go to JamesPerdueSpeaks.com, and you can get the book right there. And also, James, we're getting close to out of time here. But if you could give the people something to grab onto to expand their life. But before we do that, I want to make sure everybody heard everything that James said here. If you have the courage to overcome the fear, you can do whatever you choose, because Dr. James Perdue is living proof. And so allow James to come into your life. Give a speech. Allow him to expand your life. And now, James, give people the wisdom to expand their life, and I'll close out the show.
Okay. Again, let's everybody learn to persevere past your paralysis. So, whatever's holding you back, let's get it out of your way. Let's all move forward and be better than what we could have been. That way we can help other people, pay things forward. And, again, whether you know it or not, somebody is watching you. I had to learn that myself. Someone's watching you to see how you handle things, and then they're going to learn from you as well. Hopefully they're learning the right thing and the good stuff.
And I want to thank all the listeners, and I want to thank you, Dr. James Perdue, for being my guest. And we're going to have James back because he has got not only the wisdom, but he's got the courage to expand your life, and that's what this show is about expanding life. And Dr. James Perdue will do that when you allow him. And thank you, James.
Thank you, Rob, for having me on, and thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you'll be back if you choose to come back.
you don't have to twist my arm. I'm ready for it.
All righty, and thank you, and thank all the listeners. And the book is One More Play by Dr. James Perdue. It's on Amazon and also on James's website, JamesPerdueSpeaks.com. And thank you and good night. And we'll do one more show this year, and then we're going to start all over for next year. And everybody, good night.